Islands. Eamon Malley's reported for years from Stormont, and he's on the line. Eamon, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Today will be a big one, won't it?
Yes, but the shenanigans today, at the end of the day, won't add up to much. Well, potentially Simon Hamilton will outline some remedy for potential recovery of the £490 million over the next 20-25 years. But the die is cast. Sinn Féin have repeatedly said over the weekend they will not be nominating a Deputy First Minister. So we're into elections. And Frank, I just want to give you broad headlines covering the future as I see it after deep probing inside the Democratic Unionist Party and Sinn Féin in recent weeks. Let me just say, Frank, my observation would be the following. I detect a restlessness in the Catholic Nationalist Republican community, right across that community, not dissimilar to what was obtaining in 1969, faced with an inflexible unionism, failing and not willing to give one man one vote, job opportunities and housing opportunities for the Catholic Nationalist community. That's my broad view of how I'm pulsing the broad Nationalist community. In terms of the Democratic Unionist Party, every day I feel the temperature rising in the Democratic Unionist Party. They're becoming more hardline, more tough in their stance, deeply suspicious of the motives of Sinn Féin in forcing this election.
Yeah, just let me stop you there for a second, Eamon, because I don't want to lose track of where you are with these points that you're making, these headlines, as you say. Just explain to me why the Catholic Nationalist community is as unhappy as it was in 1969. What's the problem there?
I'm going to explain that very simply, Frank. I have been saying now for some 2 years, 18 months, I've been writing, I've been articulating this. My perception of how Stormont was operating was that Sinn Féin were being ruled over repeatedly by the Democratic Unionist Party at every bend in the road, every move, every new piece of legislation, every attempt to bring in a bill, whatever it was by Sinn Féin to liberalise Northern Ireland was resisted. No Irish Language Act, hollowing out of cross-border bodies at every turn. Brexit confirmed this. Ending the influence, seeking to end the influence. That was the agenda. Now, the majority vote went against Arlene Foster, but the agenda was to hollow out the influence of Europe in Northern Ireland. When it came to gay rights, same-sex marriage, all the liberal agenda has been consistently turned on its head in the Assembly by the Democratic Unionist Party. And that's what I'm saying. That was my observation. What amazed me was, why did Sinn Féin accept this for so long? So the Democratic Unionist Party currently is going into this election, and those issues which I've just addressed there, they have no intention of conceding in any future administration. In fact, they're toughening their attitude. And I used a term on Twitter this morning that there are crumbs which they will concede. For example, the A5 would be one such crumb, because from their perspective, that motorway in the northwest, it would be useful for their constituents as well as nationalists. They would concede, for example, one of them told me, to another medical school in the northwest, because that would serve their community as well. But on the broad sweep of issues which I have outlined, Irish Language Act, all of that, they're not conceding. Arlene is going to be promoted as the Iron Lady of Northern Ireland, the unyielding, the inflexible, tough lady in the eye of the storm, despite what was thrown at her and the grip and the very considerable bias in the media towards her over the last month. She didn't bow the knee. That's the attitude. And they believe the goal of Sinn Féin was to smash her, weaken unionism, and that's the environment in which we're fighting.
So what happens then as far as this, as you describe them, Catholic Nationalist Republican community behaves? What's their next step? In 1969, they rallied behind civil rights, and eventually some of them involved themselves in violence. What's the next step in the modern Catholic Nationalist Republican?
I'll come to that in a moment. But let me say something else, Frank. We are very, very blessed that we have lived through a political miracle in Northern Ireland. As we stand today, there is no Damocles sword of a gun or a bomb hanging over us in Northern Ireland today. For that, everybody must be eternally grateful. But this is how I see the world for Sinn Féin in the aftermath of this election. Unless Sinn Féin becomes the larger party, the largest party, and win the seat of First Minister, if that potential was there, I see Sinn Féin going into a deep, deep trough period of isolationism. I'll explain that. Sinn Féin has no longer got levers of powers in the White House, on Capitol Hill, in London, in Dublin, and in Europe. And I'll explain why. There's no longer a Tony Blair, a John Major. There's no longer a Bertie Ahern and Albert Reynolds in Dublin. There's no longer a Clinton in the White House. There's no longer a body of friends on Capitol Hill. Another thing, that pool, that reservoir of deep, deep knowledge and familiarity, that reservoir of expertise which existed in Downing Street in and around the time of the Good Friday Agreement in Dublin and in the United States, that's gone. Those levers are gone for Sinn Féin. So potentially, in my opinion, Sinn Féin could find itself very isolated in the aftermath of this election. No government or parliament buildings. Now, the Democratic Unionist Party have every intention of growing their party numerically in terms of MPs, using their influence. They'll be strutting the stage. The former Assembly members will be forgotten about in Northern Ireland. And the DUP MPs will be back strutting the stage, puffing out their chests. They will be the people to whom you'll be referring on a daily basis, the BBC, everybody else, in terms of what do you think of this, what do you think of the other. Those other former local assembly members, they will be forgotten about. That's how I see the future down the road here.
It's interesting. Malachy O'Doherty, a couple of days ago, last week on the programme, was saying he could see it moving towards a united Ireland. You see it moving towards being more British than Finchley was ever British.
Au contraire, it's not, that is just pie in the sky, in my opinion. Pie in the sky. And I tell you another thing. People who might push that agenda, they would need to be very careful.
Which agenda?
The United Ireland agenda. Even at this point in time, they would need to be careful. They'd need to pulse very carefully the attitudes within the loyalist Protestant community on that front. If that road was to be travelled, I think it would have to be travelled very, very carefully.
So you can't see it, as they would say, in your lifetime?
Listen, who am I? I'm merely giving an opinion based on my experience to date. But
you've painted a picture. You've painted a picture of an isolated Sinn Féin, a more powerful DUP. Will there be a nationalist party that'll come to challenge Sinn Féin, or is that forlorn for anyone who would be hoping for that?
Potentially not, and I'll tell you why. You see the situation right now. More than likely, Sinn Féin and the Democratic Unionist Party will actually end up more or less where they are, despite the fact that we're going to only have 90 representatives as opposed to 108. And I suspect what's going to happen here in this election, as the temperature rises, people will go back into their camps. Now, Sinn Féin got a scare in the last Assembly election, with Eamon McCann being elected, with the Young Carr being elected in West Belfast. So that was a wake-up call for Sinn Féin, that there was a mood. The mood was changing on the ground. But in this environment, and given the aggressive stance of the Democratic Unionist Party, and faced with the ongoing repeated remarks by Arlene, I am the leader of Northern Ireland. Now, when that is repeated by Arlene, that gets the old blood flowing in nationalism. Martin McGuinness was a co-equal, but that was the flaw, it appears, in the structure of the Good Friday Agreement when that term deputy was inserted. And arising from the insertion of deputy, in the eyes of the nationalist community, the First Minister created a hierarchical structure and unionism exploited it. And ultimately, I think that has come back to bite the architects of the Good Friday Agreement, because it was in the through the lens of the prism of nationalism. Their minister, who was supposed to have a co-equal status, that status was diminished, and that's something which has contributed to the deadlock in which we find ourselves now.
Okay, one final question, Eamon, and bringing it right up to date. An election most likely is going to be called today at 5 o'clock. So would this be a good time for independents to put themselves forward going to the polling station next time round? Or are independents going to be irrelevant because it's going to be a big green-orange battle?
I think it's a green-orange battle. And history is not on the side of the independents. And the consensus would be that it's going to be a very challenging election for Emma McCann, for example. Could be a challenging election in West Belfast for Alex Atwood of the SDLP. Could be challenging for unionism in four or five areas. If the DUP is incapable, and the core vote will come out, but the inside thinking in the Democratic Unionist Party is the following. If they cannot mobilise that softer unionist vote in their constituencies, those who might fall off the ledge because of their annoyance over RHI, etc. If that vote doesn't come out in places like North Down, for example, they could fail to get a seat in a constituency like North Down or maybe South Antrim or some place like that. And that's going to be the challenge for the Democratic Unionist Party, to hold that softer unionist vote against the backdrop of the hurt visited upon many, many people because of RHI. And RHI has, in fact, it has eaten into the consciousness of the broad, broad community, not just nationalism, but right across the community.
Okay, Eamon, always good to speak to you. Thanks for your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Eamon Malley, eamonmalley.com. You can follow what Eamon's writing there as well, needless to say.